This week on RSBNB Update, Hero Pass arrives, causing a storm in the community. We provide sober second thought on progression, dailies, messaging, and the ethics and requirements of a battle pass. Also with a U-turn in sight, Jagex is on the market yet again. This is RSBNB Update, episode 951, recorded Thursday, September 7th, 2023. Sober Second Thoughts. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update here. Keep everything nice and somber for everybody, not to give everybody whiplash. Tanis, welcome.
Thank you.
Sirion is also here this week.
Hello.
As folks might realize, it's quite the energetic and I guess you could say raucous week in the RuneScape community. As such, we brought together what we call internally the God panel of RSBNB updates, in terms of, you know, just folks we want to bring together when we have a very deep and serious discussion going on about, well, Hero Pass this week. But of course, we'll go through all of that in good time. First and foremost, I want to thank our experienced tier Patreon members, for whom without RSBNB update would not be possible. So big huge thank you. Despite the content each and every week, these folks are wonderful, and you know, it's the reason, these guys are the reason we're here primarily. And that's Andrew C, Drama Free, Jason S, Jesse W, Keski, Maniac RS, Ricky A, Rippeth, Seth W, and the Naked Captain. Big huge thank you goes out to those wonderful people who support us at the experience tier on Patreon. And you can learn more about that in a little bit after, when we talk about Patreon. But of course, if you're joining us for the first time, RSBNB Update is the podcast that discusses the weekly RuneScape updates, and in this case, this week provides you a dose of sober second thought about the updates. If you want full show notes, you can find those at update.show. I'm in game at Shane12088. Tanis can be found at Tanis79, and Sirion is just at Sirion. And of course, we also have our community Discord at rsbnb.com/discord, and the friends chat is Bits Bytes. And you know, we were looking forward to Hero Pass last week. I was looking forward to Hero Pass last week. You guys?
So, yes. Did you say a sober look, Shane?
I said a dose of sober second thought.
Okay.
Which is what the Canadian Senate is called. The upper chamber in our legislative body is the Senate, which is the House of Sober Second Thought, as it's called.
Well, I don't want any of the listeners out there to get worried. He means California sober, so it's okay. Cool.
I don't know what that means. It's just a saying.
I know you don't. I was looking more forward to it than when it dropped. I was a little bit more hyped last week. Well, let me put it this way. I wasn't concerned at all last week.
No.
I had no concerns about it or anything.
I for the large part didn't have concerns at all, even into this week. But that would put me in the minority. Sirion?
Yeah, like I had the funny and interesting experience of not having time to read the news post when it came out, so I saw all the reactions in Discord and was like, oh boy, what have they done? And then I read it and was like, what's all the fuzz about? This is great!
And folks, he's being serious there.
I am.
Yeah. You know, there's another world where people might think that that's not being serious, but 100%, and I'm in that same
absolutely
camp. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like, what's not to like? I mean,
because I have been in a position before, and you can tell me if you were in the same one, and Tanis too, where I felt for a long time where Yak Track was trying to be a battle pass that wasn't a battle pass, and I felt like this was finally that option to get on that same battle pass trajectory that all of the other games that, you know, are legendary for their battle passes do, like Fortnite, Apex, so
shame.
On and so forth.
And therein lies our first cardinal sin, because I did the same thing. And you know what I found out?
The community doesn't want that.
We don't want a battle pass. We thought we wanted a battle pass, but we don't really. It might not really fit this game. I mean, I don't know. We'll discuss this.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Yeah.
For me, that was the thing, right? Like, that's sort of what it promised. And I was like, okay. I mean, I was kind of... Yak Track was not really working for me anymore with my play habits. And then I just kept reading. I was like, oh, but they're also overhauling the daily challenge system. And if there's any long-term viewers here that have heard me on the show before,
specifically,
you know,
the monthly bits.
Specifically the monthly bits, but also on the main show, I think about every second time I'm on, I talk about the fact that the daily system needs to be different. Like, I still remember the very first time the achievement system was brought out, and I was already talking about this. And so much that Hero Pass does is exactly what I've been saying for so many years. And I'm like, okay, now everybody's hating it, so I guess maybe I was wrong, but I still think it's the, like, it still feels like the right solution to the game.
Yeah, and we'll get, and you know, we're very much just skimming along the top here, and we'll get to exactly why you feel that way, because I feel like if you just said that to somebody outright right now and you're walking down the street, they'd shoot you.
Well, and you know why that is? Because there's a difference between the gift and the wrapping. See, Sirion's idea of changing dailies would be totally, would be interpreted in a completely different way had we had a different, if it was in a different package. Unfortunately, that's like taking a soap sculpture and wrapping it in toilet paper and giving it to somebody, right? Like, you're never even going to see what's in it.
I think my thoughts are very rational, and I think what we've learned this week is that 90% of the RS community does not typically act rationally when it comes to updates like these.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get this out there.
And
we'll just get this out there now, and you know, it's really beyond the scope of diving into too much this week, but I feel like there's a lot of disingenuous discussion at times this week that has amplified some of the issues about this that didn't need to be amplified to that degree. Yes, there are problems with Hero Pass, and we are going to go into those, but at the same time, there is lots of disingenuous discussion in this from all parts of the community on this week that has really, really turned a mountain into a molehill, I think.
That, yes. I mean, there's definitely, I think, a Pied Piper effect, but is the tail wagging the dog? Is the dog actually... I don't know. I've been looking forward to today because I feel like...
Oh, you have?
Because this is the only forum that I feel like we actually can have nuance.
Wow.
Because I think there are some issues, right? There are some things that we can at least talk about.
This has been my most dreaded show of the year.
If it was anyone else, I don't know. And at first, even that made me a little skittish, but...
Yeah,
I feel
and
like
we had a good talk about that. And that's one thing I think I also want to say before we begin here is that people who are on the show, people who build the show, and people who guest on the show, those are three different categories most weeks, need to understand, and this is something I don't think makes its way out there, is that we're not in the game here on this show of doing gotchas and rolling over people and making it look like a primetime opinion show like you would find on American cable news. And I feel like that's something for new listeners of the podcast that they need to be aware of, is that if you want something like that, that's going to, you know, roll over one of our hosts, roll over Jagex, or roll over a section of the community, that's not what you're going to have this week.
There's a lot of experience. There's a lot to go around, and I think there's a lot to go around.
Yeah. So I think we begin with just looking and doing a recap of how Hero Pass progresses compared to Yak Track, because we talked a bit about that last week, but for people who are just tuning in for this week, I think it would be something important for us to look at, unless either you guys have anything else you want to get off your chest at the beginning there.
Mm-mm. No, go for it.
Okay. So what we're presented with is a pass that has 120 levels to it, and in total 162,000 hero points are needed to complete it. And with that, you're looking at roughly completing 161,000 of them after you complete the onboarding tasks, which include, you know, just looking at the pass and whatnot. And there's also, of course, different ways to progress through that. We'll go through some of the progression in just a little bit. But effectively, what you have are general missions, daily general missions, weekly general missions, weekly tailored missions that focus on various skills in game. Like, for example, doing 10 dungeoneering floors, restoring 15 artifacts, or catching 800 fish, or burying bones, so on and so forth. And then you also have a suite of special missions, which are to be tailored towards the content that's out there. And right now, that's, of course, fort-related and necromancy-related, talking about, for example, completing Dead and Buried, completing Raptor Slayer assignments, completing rituals, reaching the milestones of level 40, 70, and 99 necromancy, just to name a few of them. And with that, the idea is that they hope that we will progress through the Hero Pass to a point where we will get the cosmetics that we need. And of course, in general, the idea with the Battle Pass system is that if there's cosmetics that you want on the track that you can't necessarily get to, that's where the monetization angle comes in. And then there's subsequent things in the store as well that you can buy for emblems. And hey, if you don't have enough emblems, you can buy those as well. And that's in general how the Battle Pass system works. And in reality, I feel like this is probably a more sustainable method of doing this than Yak Track was, because, you know, when you look at what Yak Track was, it became something that was completed by the most diehard of RuneScape players. I think the record was like 3 or 4 days, let's be honest. And we need to be 100% honest with the way this goes, is that if people, your most diehard game players are completing your pass in 3 to 4 days, it's failing at being able to monetize itself. And, you know, we need to be 100% real here that Hero Pass is a monetization method for RuneScape. How successful it will be, I don't know. And I think at the end of the day, that's something that's going to weigh heavily in the people at higher up who are making decisions about this.
I think that's like, to me, that is the most striking, right? Like, the fact that people were completing Yak Track in like the scope of like a few days, it just felt wrong to me. Like, that's not the point of the game, and unfortunately RuneScape as a whole is in a position where, you know, people are at the point where the game is quote unquote finished. So, you know, even if the update you release is a track that unlocks cosmetics, if that's the only thing they can do, then they're gonna completely no-life that. So part of it is sort of the curse of RuneScape content in general, but at the same time, there's a rule of thumb that the people who play the game the most are gonna be your most valuable people in terms of money spent, right? Like, they have the most to gain out of spending bucks on the game. So, and if they get everything that they might be able to get just by playing, then you've lost an opportunity to extract money from them. I mean, it sounds bad, and that
was the problem with Yak Track.
But like,
I hate to say it, but that's like, what it is in terms of the business angle.
Like,
yeah, I just want to jump in here just a little bit, just because when we're talking about, you know, some percentage of players were getting through Yak Track in, you know, a few days, week, whatever it may have been. To me, that puts the focus on, you know, those players. And then it makes it feel like, okay, so because of the certain group, you know, changes were made, when I actually think it's bigger than that. It's actually RuneScape culture. It's the culture of RuneScape.
And that's something,
that culture has been built, right? Like it's been
built around completionism.
Right. And so that's why I'm sitting here going, you know, when I did Yak Track, especially that last Yak Track was the longest, grindiest. You know, I didn't enjoy that like at all. And I'm not someone that has that same kind of need to complete everything, but you still kind of want to get as far as you can. And like, to me, that's where this whole thing, along with messaging, missed the mark. Yeah. Cause they neglected to see the, you know, just what the RuneScape community is.
Yeah,
One thing I think I should add as well is that we're now talking about this particular engagement problem. So what I think the elegance of Hero Pass is how many different problems it actually solves that maybe we as a players were not aware of.
You're saying the players don't know everything.
I am saying the players don't know everything.
Oh boy, that's dangerous this week.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, I
don't mean this in a negative way towards the community. I'm just like, can't know everything because there's a bunch of data that you frankly do not have access to because Jagex doesn't want you to have access to it, right? Like, if we knew everything, then Jagex would be out of business within no time. That's why trade secrets and NDAs and all that stuff are a thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems around daily challenge. Oh, door! I'm opening this door. Yes, daily challenges were problematic, and I think for a lot of players, they may have even been the victim of this problem without even realizing it.
Yeah. And you know, we have a whole section on daily challenges too, not to, you know, kick this ball down the road or anything.
No, but like I just give it as an example of being like, let's
Hero Pass could be an elegant solution to many things.
We can have opinions about the execution.
Sure.
But the one
thing
which wasn't perfect, but the one thing that has bothered me so much in all this conversation is that people are assigning motives to the decisions that I just can't believe are true. Like, yes, money needs to be made. There's an investor there that wants to see a return on interest. If you don't like it, boo-hoo, go live in Russia. But, like, money needs to be made, so that's a given. And I think if you extrapolate from that, the system we have is not actually that predatory. So,
you want to see predatory?
Well, you want to see predatory? They're like, I go to any EA game, right? Like if you want to see predatory, go play one of those games. One of the Star Wars games where you pay like $100 so you can play as Darth Vader. Like, we're not even at that level here. So,
or $150 for Star Trek Online to fly the Enterprise G.
I'm not going to change the community by saying this, but I want to be clear that we need to shift away from the discussion of motives and just talk about implementation and best intentions.
But people go to motives when
they don't have good arguments against the implementation. Yes.
Well, but because you can notice something's off, right? And still be completely wrong about what that is. Or, okay, look, I think you're right. There, Hero Pass could be the, you know, what's a possible solution to several issues. Those issues you could still solve. I think it, that may have been one of the bad things. It was wrapping all of these things into Hero Pass may not have been, you know, those fixes should be in the game regardless of the monetization strategy. But where people are having problems, I think, is because it's the layering of the monetization. And because they're already paying Premier, because they're already buying bonds, or they're contributing in, you know, whatever other ways, that this was yet another layer. Now, it doesn't bother me because I play other games. And so I'm like, you guys, this isn't that bad. My problem is I want it to, you know, I do want it to be completable. Even if that does cost me a few dollars, I want to be able to complete it.
I have a question on that then.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I want the things.
Okay. So you want...
I would buy the, if you offered me the things for money, I'd buy
okay.
the things.
Okay, that was my next question then.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So if every reward in the Hero Pass was in the store for maybe a bit higher emblem price, and you could just buy the emblems at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'd just buy it anyway.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And I feel like that's different than people who just want to complete it for the sake of completing it. Go.
Because now Hero Pass is actually saving you money, because you can just play the game and get the stuff for free, or at least a cheaper price if you have most of the emblems, right? Like that's true. I'm completely reframing it, right? Like people are like, "Oh, I need to play so long to get it." No, you don't have to pay to get it if you spend the time. If you don't spend the time, you'll pay for it.
And now you're getting into the adult discussion of time versus money, which I feel like has been completely ignored this week.
Yes, like this is the funny thing. People that play RuneScape have. In general, there's exceptions, but in general, they have grown older. Once you get older, you have less time, and you have more money. And monetization schemes like this...
You have less of both. Sorry.
But yeah, monetization schemes like this exactly... cater to that audience.
Which, I mean, makes sense. And we've seen for a long time that this monetization is kind of a critical kind of component, right, to the overall health. So my problem is just, it's not in the monetization of it. I think some of those fixes should just be fixes, you know.
Specifically, dailies, for example.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just one example.
Just one example. You know. So I mean, I don't know. I feel very conflicted because it's like I understand some of the arguments, but at the same time, I mean, I understand the arguments that come that are being presented honestly. You know, I think there are other people that are 100% disingenuous that are just rallying up the crowd, right? Like instigating it. But for the people that, you know, they are like, hey, I'm paying Premier, I'm paying, like, I do understand that feeling. But at the end of the day, you'll probably spend it. You would probably buy something else, right? So to me, that's not the big problem.
Yeah.
Like you would spend money on the next rare tradable rare or the next whatever floats your boat, right? Like you'd spend it on something. So to me, that's not the problem with Hero Pass. It's, you know, it's the emblem. It's the mess. Oh, God. When are we going to go to the messaging? We got to go to the, like, just.
And it see what,
to
what,
know
what,
your
what,
audience.
What you're doing here is you're painting a picture of everything that went wrong with this week, And the interesting thing about that is that there's kernels of truth in all of it, right? But it's it's a question of how is it being framed, right? And and you mentioned that early on, and I appreciate that, because when it comes down to it, framing is key to fixing so many problems. And you look at everything that has been mentioned in the run-up to Hero Pass. We've been talking about dailies a lot, and we actually have some interesting thoughts on those. But one thing, looking at this, that we saw last week in terms of when this was first unveiled, that goes into that same framing and goes into, you know, do I want to spend on this, or do I want to spend on the next tradable rare, or maybe I want to spend in a different game entirely, is a discussion about how much time it's going to take to actually complete the Hero Pass. Because you look at that, and we're back to that same discussion about, you know, time versus dollars, right? And we have this statement that was put out by Jagex that says, a moderately active player could achieve 99 with their normal playtime, which now includes the majority of the rewards. Active players, which they estimate to be around 30% of the player base, could achieve level 120 with their normal playtime. And that, in a whole, raises a question about this as to whether or not those accurates or those estimates were accurate. And we
well, they should have the most accurate estimates, right? I'm going to believe them. Who has
we had fun
talking about this week too.
I mean, we did the math ourselves, and we wanted to see if the numbers are sort of like the ballpark numbers look right, because we don't have all the data, right? Like, and this I think comes down to the point you had earlier, Shane, where you said, like, there's a lot of disingenuous discussion about this. Like, everybody is going to run their own numbers and come to a result and be like, look, it takes you 15 hours a day to complete this thing.
And I got entirely different numbers.
I mean, everybody's getting different numbers, which, first of all, that should be, like...
And you know what that does, Sirion? It made me completely check out of the numbers game this week. I'm like,
yeah,
there's no way to know.
And honestly, I think you make the right decision, because, yeah, like, what we saw... No, I'm absolutely serious. Like, we got the player feedback update, and they were basically saying, like, you know, you've all been running these numbers, but what you don't know yet is that There's going to be more specials. Yeah, like, we're going to give you even more, like,
you're
going
to be able to get 25% of the way to 99 with specials.
Exactly. And after I read that, I was like, why have we been running all these numbers like idiots? Because we don't even have all the data. Like,
exactly.
Everybody is making all this comes
do
again.
Do you want me to
down,
say? Go. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
This again, it comes down to the fact, like, there needs to be at least, like, you can disagree with the decisions that Jagex takes, and maybe they made some mistakes, but, like...
But we don't even know how long it's going to take to complete!
I can assure you that the first thing even a intern designer learns is that you make spreadsheets for things like that. I believe there's a massive spreadsheet somewhere within Jagex that says exactly how much you need to spend, and has all kinds of different scenarios, and has the data, like the actual engagement data of different groups of players, which have probably split up in different segments based on their profile and how much they play, and they have probably tuned the numbers to be exactly right. So.
Yeah.
I completely agree with Tanis. We could run a numbers game here right now.
Do you want me to? You want me to go through what I
read?
No! Okay.
No! Because I don't think it adds to the discussion. I think we can maybe get feedback on this at the end of this Hero Pass, once we have actually seen how it plays out.
Fair.
But I am now at the point where I am willing to accept that the numbers are probably right, and if they're not, they will be tuned for next time. And that is not a point worth talking about.
Yeah. And you know what I think the sweet spot would be? And I hope we get to this. Level 99 by just doing the dailies and the specials.
Well, that brings up something interesting.
If we can get to that point, I think that's the sweet spot. And I could go through these numbers. Sirion said not to. I have them. And I agree that, you know, at this point, it would be my numbers versus someone else's numbers.
They're all just numbers. What I'm going by is how much I play and then how much progress, you know, am I making. And what I can say is...
It's on par with the Actrack?
Well...
Because you remember we had Parnassius on the show last week, and then I'll get your numbers.
Right, right.
He's about as far as he would be in Yak-Track.
Yeah, and here's the difference. See, and that's actually going to illustrate my point. How do I do Yak-Track? Well, I always skill and kill, right? Like that's how I chill through it. The way that Parnassius plays is he likes to do those, you know, dailies or with challenges or whatever it says to do. He likes to do that. This is especially punishing, I feel, to the skill and chiller,
which I don't have a problem with that, right?
Yeah.
But that is built in. I am the person that should be buying the skips because I'm not going to do the little other stuff.
Right, like that's fair. I feel like that's not a problem, but it does feel really slow as you know, if you're just playing. But it's there.
I mean personally, I've come at this from a different point of view where I sort of tuned out of Yak-Track because you get these really long gaps between rewards. And now, like, which will end up me just not really going for it anymore. And here, I always feel that, you know, at the end of the day, in the last, like, 2 days of Hero Pass, like, in the last weekend, I can clutch out a level or two at the very least, because that doesn't take that much time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a big thing, too, that we didn't mention in the progression, is that this is linear all the way through 99, and it becomes a little bit more strenuous after 99, but there's no huge exponential increases like Yak-Track had.
Yeah.
No, and I feel a little bit
post.
Yeah. Yeah. I all in all, I feel a little bit more supported in my casual playstyle with this. And like, you've run the numbers, and it didn't look like the casual players once again got the short stick. But I don't know if they do. Like, I feel...
You feel like...
I don't know. I find it hard to explain. But just as a gut feeling, I'm... having more fun with Hero Pass than Yak-Track.
And see, that's the thing. That's the progression. And I think it goes to what you said, is that, like you said, the designers behind this have the engagement numbers for a cross-section of players, including your player type, to know what to build into this to make it feel like it's progressing at a decent rate.
And I'll tell you something, right? Like, I cannot tell you how excited I was reading my first special challenge, which is using a crocodile to capture 500 Hats of Aces thingamabobs.
That's a special challenge for you?
Ooh. That's a special challenge for me. And I'm like,
okay,
perfect.
Okay, this changes the game. This changes the game because that's a comp requirement, and I've already done that.
Exactly. And I'm looking, well, I don't know if it's a special challenge or like a weekly challenge, but it's something.
I think it's probably a special because...
And I don't know. I can look it up, and I will get back to you after I make my point now. But I looked at that, and I was like, "This is perfect. I know this is one of my comp requirements. This is the motivation I've been looking for to knock this thing out."
Or no, that is a general mission. That is a weekly general mission that anybody.
There you go. It's a weekly general mission. It happens to line up
with that,
but that, like, nothing else would give me that extra motivation,
right?
And this is like, it so perfectly lines up for me, and I'm like, this is the kind of things that makes me do content that I might otherwise just not have enough motivation to do. It's just that extra little push to, hey, go do that, and I'm like, cool. Now, if you already have completionist, I can see why this is maybe less engaging. But the thing is, I don't. The system is sort of punishing if you don't do this, but I feel there are so many different kinds of missions, and the chance that you need all of them to finish tells me that you probably have quite a lot of freedom of choice here.
Yeah, that's true.
Just not do the ones you don't want to do.
Right. And
you can delay them.
Yeah,
you can do them in any order.
And they expire at the end of the event.
Exactly.
So you don't need to do it in 1 week. And that's why you see, oh my God, Barry scatter or offer 2,000 bones. You don't need to, you know, wait to progress to the next thing for that. You got the entire pass for that. Cut 800 logs. Once again, you don't need to wait till the end of the pass for that. If you've been absent from the game and you haven't done the Woodcutter's Grove stuff to get the Mkando hatchet, boom, that one's done. So on and so forth.
And Yaktrak was way more heavy-handed in this, right?
Like, it had to be in a specific order.
Do fire making now, or you're going to get the penalty and you have to do skill and kill. Right?
Which,
and I'm like, yeah, but today I feel like Slayer, right? I never feel like Slayer. This is an example, as you can clearly tell. But, like, that's...
Then you go knock out some of the special raptor ones.
Yeah.
Then you know what the... Okay, so then another issue that I have with that, and I probably wouldn't have as much of an issue with that, is... It's hard from, like, I don't even really understand how you find those things, like, clearly, the goals and what to have.
Yes.
But if you're making progress towards it all along, then okay, hey, oh, this makes sense. Oh, I didn't clear it today, but I made progress towards it.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to find that and to see that. What I'm seeing is when I hit claim, I might have gotten one or two or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see that progress behind the point.
I can totally see that, and I think, but again, this is an implementation issue we should be talking about. This is not the system puts the whole game on fire. No, it's an implementation issue.
Yeah, the issue,
the UI could be better. That's
right.
Fact.
So the problem we have with that, and I'm going to pull the game up right now to illustrate this on the video version. The problem I feel with this, and I see exactly what Tanis is talking about, is that what we're looking at is an issue with the way the user interface is presented. And I feel like the main problem with that is that we're looking at maybe having a little bit too much user interface Chrome on the sides of this, which is making it difficult to read the specific tasks in game. That would be my guess of what's going on with this, if we were to have a look at this user interface. And, you know, that's something that I don't know if would have been illustrated in the various amounts of feedback that we received this week at all, or if it's something that got lost in the noise of the hive mind with this.
That was the problem. We didn't get a chance to talk about the legitimate, like, feedback,
yeah, like,
you know, critical feedback that we could have given.
Right. And see, the issue is that I pull this up right now on the screen. There's this scroll bar that requires you to scroll through these things. That's, I feel like, very clearly a mobile designed UI. And I mean, that's fine given the fact that they're tailoring to a mobile audience at this point. But at the same time, each one of these subsections is collapsible. And if you accidentally have one of these sections collapse, which I'm betting might be your issue, Tanis, you're not actually able to see the tasks if you have it collapsed. And there's a little arrow that you just click the subheading and it reopens it. And I'm wondering if maybe that's what your issue was there.
It very well could be. I mean, and you know, it seems to me like you have to go through a couple different UIs to even get to
the thing that
you're trying to get
that,
to.
That is something they're looking into, though, right? Didn't they say so?
Yeah, they are looking.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And then the other, I mean, I think the other problem I have had, and, you know, this might sound stupid, but it has felt a little complex for me, right? Like, I want...
Yeah.
And I just... I just want to play. I just want to play.
I'm going to be honest. Shane, you were going to sort of the onboarding flow. And I was like, God, I remember going through that and being like, why is there so much shit going on? And I think I mean, this is really hard to do, right? With a system that's as complicated, but I think they should probably ease on players a little bit more, right? Like, you need to just go to five levels before you unlock special challenges or something.
Yeah.
Like, incrementally unlock it. It's really it's a really overwhelming system. And that's maybe why people get the maths wrong, because it's complicated. Like, you're wrong sounds like a very negative thing to say, but like, like, I think there's so many subtleties to the system, and this also comes back to Tanis's point, is they're trying to solve like five different problems with this, which is why you have all these sort of special cases and different versions, and maybe that's a little bit too ambitious.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like the biggest thing that was to me a very clearly solved problem in this, and I use the word solved problem in quotes, was the question of dailies here, because the daily system was substantially changed and of course rolled into Hero Pass. And you, Sirion, you said you've been, you know, talking at length for that on various monthly bits and episodes, going back to the achievements discussion about how there needs to be some sort of flow for that. But the main discussion about that this week wasn't necessarily, and I think it's a good thing, and we can discuss if it's a good thing, that dailies are now part of the Battle Pass system. But the biggest thing was the reduction in XP coming in from the challenges. You know, previously, if you were maxed, you could get six medium lamps a day from a challenge in your skill. Now, it's small, medium, and large. Next week, that's being changed to two large in total.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just that, right? It's the fact that it actually takes longer to do these challenges now.
Yeah, what's honestly, the numbers here again?
Yeah, it takes you like 45 minutes, I think.
40 minutes to do all three,
To do all three, and that gets you less XP than like 2 minutes of throwing five logs on a fire, right? Like, that's, I can totally see why people are upset about it. That being said, the amount of XP that came into the game because of that, like, I went to the archaeology grind using dailies. I get so much farming XP just clicking on a single dragon each day.
Yeah,
let's be honest, that's not playing the game. And the fact that you're logging in for 10 minutes to get a whole chunk of XP, I mean, even stretching RuneScape into its modern shape and form, that can't be what RuneScape is about, right?
Yeah.
Like, the log in once, like 5 or 10 minutes every 24 hours, and that progresses you at actually a reasonable rate.
Which is a problem in itself. People might disagree with that. And, I mean, when you lay this all out at the end of the day, I want to bring everybody back to one of Modjack's Designing RuneScape live streams. I think we talked about this point he made on the show. Once upon a time, he said that XP has lost its value, and I don't think many people honed in on that live stream when he said XP has lost its value or understood what that meant. I think the only thing people would have thought would have been, you know, hey, maybe we need to decrease the amount of XP coming into game through some of the high tier training methods, and the other reaction was Treasure Hunter, of course. But I see what we have here this week with Hero Pass, that being fixed. And I also want to say that in terms of we saw it was Mod Breezy on the video last week, junior designer, which means he's in the same umbrella group as Mod Jack, I believe. Hero Pass fixing game design problems. People might not like it, but that's probably something that was aimed to be fixed with this, dare I say.
And that's going to be a question, right? Like,
yeah.
For any games company, and not even games, like, I think this is a product problem in general. Like, are you going to keep living with the problem, or are you at some point going to make the decision to just rip off the Band-Aid? And they went for the Band-Aid. And then immediately stuck a new one back on, I think, for next week.
Yeah, the two large lamps.
Which we can argue if that's a problem. I mean, in the wider context, it's probably not the most game-breaking thing. So I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. And if that keeps everybody happy and quiet, that's fine. But Yeah. That's yeah, sort of the what XP seems was to be
never
going on here.
The XP was never an issue for me. I know there were, you know, people out there for who it was. Iron Man questions come into play on that, but once again, that's something I think that's heavily limited to the Iron community about whether or not they should even get that XP.
It's one thing I find so particularly funny about this is that I've seen multiple people like, how can Jagex set up such a predatory battle pass system when they're so much advocating for mental health, and those same people complaining about that they're now getting less rewards for the dailies. I'm like, they're actively trying to reduce you feeling pressured from logging into a game every single day. Like, it's actually an improvement.
And I actually have an alternate take to that.
Oh, I want to hear this.
The daily challenges that gave those daily XP drops like that, those were never the problem because you can complete them in 5 to 10 minutes. The other problem was that huge list of dailies from our Dailyscape tier list that were at S, yeah, A, and B tier that, yeah, you feel compelled to do.
Yeah.
And you know, on that note. I want to thank some Patreon supporters. I want to thank some Patreon supporters since I mentioned the tier list. We'll come back to
it. Pay the bills, Sirion.
I know.
Gotta pay the bills, man.
So this week I'd like to thank Abusenub, Alaska, Alfie S, Amos Reed, Anatoly D, Andrew C, Arvid Zell, Chulbura, Chunk the Monk, Dominic R, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, G Hummy, Guy Lafleur, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Jim M, Keski, Killer Snowball, Malinoric, Maniac RS, Mohan V, Mr. Crafty, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W, Shirt Pants, Tanner JW, Thule, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, and Zant. Big, big, huge thank you goes out to these people for making RSBNB update possible. Everybody who had their name mentioned here is one of our either VIP or insider tier supporters since it's the first episode of the month. And what this is all about, patreon.com/RSBNB. $1 a month gets you access to an entire back catalog of 60-plus monthly bits. Those are our bonus shows that we talk about an individual topic each and every month. Polling has just finished for the September one. That was a little bit late because I was on vacation, but we'll ignore that. The topic on that one's going to be the 5 most forgotten but useful pieces of RuneScape content. That's going to be an interesting one. And if you want to hear that when that comes out, you can sign up at patreon.com/RSBNB for as little as $1 a month. We also have the VIP tier, which grants you a Discord channel and chat channel access and a rank on Discord, high-quality stereo versions of the podcast, plus that shout-out at the start of the month that you just heard. And we also have the Insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And with that one, we'll also send you a Christmas card at the end of the year. I feel like I can mention that since we're in September now, kind of heading into that direction, but
oh my goodness,
I mean, we had discussions about Clan Quest Advent a couple weeks ago too, so it is
fair enough,
so it is heading into that direction. But nonetheless, big huge thank you to all of our Patreon supporters out there. It means the world to us, and of course without everybody this show would not be possible, so big huge thank you goes out to them. And you can learn more at patreon.com/RSBNB.
Thanks for throwing money at us instead of Hero Pass.
Yeah. I mean,
or both. Yeah, you can also do both.
Or both. And I feel like it was a good time to mention that, because the Dailyscape tier list was perhaps our most popular monthly bit of last year and is probably in the top three most popular monthly bits we've ever done. And what we learned with that one is that you have this collection of monthly bits that are at the bottom, like at the C and D tier, that you should just completely ignore. And those aren't a factor at all. But you have so many more at the S and A tiers that you feel compelled to do each and every week. And because of that, I feel like the 5 to 10 minutes you would have to put in previously to do your daily challenges in-game wasn't an issue compared to the other dailies. That's my take.
I mean, the problem is not that the time investment. I think it's the need to log in.
At the pressure. All. Okay.
Like, this is one of the things that was nice about the old daily challenge system, where they would stack up for 5 days, right? That to me worked a little bit better. Like, if you missed a day, you could just do twice as much the next day and you're gone.
Yeah, now you have that pressure again to do that with Hero Pass.
And now you kind of have the pressure again. Like, I think, like, in my personal opinion, one of the things that I would like to see tuned, though, again, I trust the numbers on it, is the number of extra points you get from completing, like, a daily. Like, I feel that's a little bit over the top. Like, if you miss a day, you need to actually spend some significant time making up for that.
Yeah. Or you need to commit to doing it every day for 90 days, which...
And then again 90 days, and again 90 days, because there's no breaks, right? Like, at least Yak-Track had breaks between where you could play a different game.
Yeah, and you know, from that angle, you can definitely see the pressure on dailies here.
Yeah. So, I agree that the time is not a problem. They tried moving this forward, because you need to start somewhere, and daily challenges are... they're easy to understand, and the implementation is probably a lot easier. Like, how are you going to fix? Like, how are you going to fix? I mean, the kingdom was sort of fixed, I guess. Like, I don't remember. How are we going to fix penguins, that you need to do that every week?
Yeah, penguins is very lucrative.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how are you going to change it so you don't need to log in every week? Now, I think weeklies are really not that big of a problem. It's dailies that are a problem, but...
And
I don't know.
And in their response in the feedback update, they just address the XP question. They don't address the fact that you need to log in every day for 90 days on this. And you
but
know, we'll identify that.
I got to get my keys. Get 2 free keys, man.
But can you also commit then to either 15 or 40 minutes a day to do the 3 dailies?
No, I'm just
for 90 days.
I am the antithesis of sure, the player they're okay. going for with this. Like, I don't give a shit.
Right, and this is what you and I were discussing, Sirion. You and I were discussing this about, you know, I said, oh, that's 40 minutes a day. And then I said, oh, you can take it down to 15. And you said, no, that's still too much to commit to for 90 days.
1 minute is too much. It's not about the time investment. It's about the fact that it's every single day. Like, imagine an adult with children. There are days where the children just won't leave you alone the entire day.
Oh, I can tell you how it works in other more predatory, even more predatory systems. My daughter went to camp. My wife had to log into her horse game so that she didn't lose her streak, right? Yeah. Like, it's a lot worse.
Yeah. That's a good point. They didn't include streaks, thank goodness. No yeah. Duolingo owl coming after us for missing a daily challenge in the Hero Pass, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Oh, that's such a good example. I remember this. I think I might have asked my parents to do one of these things for me when I was younger. I don't remember, though.
Why would that have been back then? Like, did that exist?
Yeah. Or maybe it was one of my sisters. I do remember, like...
You asked one of your sisters to do it?
No. One of my sisters asked... my parents allowed
me
to.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. I remember. I had to do the stupid dance game, like, once per day to keep their streak on the Wii while they were on vacation. And I was nice enough big brother to do that. That was it.
Is there footage?
Yeah.
No, there's no. There's no footage.
Oh, I tried to get him to do that. There was no doing that.
What, you tried to slow dance with Sirion, Shane?
No, I tried to make him do some form of that, but no, it didn't work. Anyway.
That's such a good point. Like, yeah, like, on the scale of predatory, this is not out there, but, you know, I can't log in every day. It's just almost physically infeasible, unless I start really stressing out about this and doing this, like, over breakfast.
And you don't have a commute anymore. Because I remember for a while when you were commuting by train, you would use mobile for ports or something. And you had a pretty good streak on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you shouldn't be married to a game.
Like,
This is what I expect from a spell. Check
and,
in
and
with
this
me
is what
on,
we,
the, on the
and,
daily, not a game.
And this is what we were going for earlier when we discussed the need to have consistent progression with this and whether or not this was going to be something that was in effect healthy and sustainable, I think, on that. And the interesting part about this is that I feel like this is a huge issue with this, but I didn't see any dialogue in the community about this that was immediately clear and laid out. That's like, oh my god, you're asking us to log in for 90 days straight for at least 15 minutes a day to do daily one and daily two, and that goes up to 40 minutes if you add the third one in. And granted, you can cut these in half by using the focused skill, but I feel like I don't know if you're gonna, you know, re-roll to 10 Vizwax a day on that, because you also get progress for your weeklies if you do the dailies in that way. But this all leads, I think, to the big thing that got a lot of criticism this week, and fairly, on this, in addition to, you know, this whole discussion on progress and whether or not there can be a general idea of completion on this, it's a question of how this was all unveiled this week in terms of Jagex's messaging. And
Tanis was having a hot take about that earlier. Or
yeah, what was that?
Well, you have to. Surely you know your audience, right?
Yeah,
like it doesn't. You know your audience. Like, look, I will give Mod Doom a pass because he hasn't been here for every implementation of every MTX that has ever happened. It just, so I get that, but you know how the RuneScape community is going to take this. You have to anticipate that. You have to be ahead of that.
The ship sailed, right? When we learned that the September major update was Hero Pass,
and
essentially viewed as an MTX update.
Which, because it is. It is. Like, damn it. You can, it might be the best thing. It could be a great thing. But you're putting lipstick on a pig and telling people to call her Brenda. I don't know. Like, it's a pig. And everyone knows it. Everyone's looking at it. Like, we can debate on if it's a cute pig. It's not something else. It's not a major headlining update.
No,
and the meaning of that.
Yes, and the issue is that immediately after Necromancy, and the same thing happened after Archaeology, there was a gulf in content. And that's just the way skill launches go.
Which is fine. That to me is the bigger problem. Jagex damn well should have known their audience. Now, they might have been saying to themselves, we do know our audience, and if we don't have a monthly update, people are going to gripe and complain. Oh yeah? Would it have been worse than this? Because I doubt it. I've been here during content droughts. That's a little murmur.
Summer 2019 and the dirty word of cadence, right?
Right.
Yes. this would still have been seen as the major like that month's headliner, right? Like, even if they hadn't announced it as the headliner, people would put two and two together. Like, okay, we're not getting any updates this month. Oh, and then this dropped. That's a big deal.
They would have.
I agree with you, but I think just saying there's not going to be an update would also not have helped. I don't know what they could have done better, except for announcing this really early and being super transparent about it, but then people would have started making assumptions about how the systems work without knowing how it
and
fully
then that
works,
takes away from
which we know they do.
But they did that anyway!
And then you get this whole discussion that we're having right now, but yeah.
No, I don't think it's an easy position, and believe me, I don't I don't think it would like negate the situation. I do think it might have helped a little. I mean, obviously I'm talking about and trying to improve things on the margins, because know your audience. No matter what you do, this is not going to go well. So you should be like, I mean, we should be starting off with, let's not make this any worse than it could be.
Like, so here's a question for me, right?
Yeah.
Do we agree that the system, I mean, we all agree it could have been better, right? Do we think it is bad, fundamentally bad?
No. No, but I also need to fully disclose that I am pro Battle Pass.
Well, I don't think it's fundamentally bad. I don't think it's the best fit. It's not flawed. It's not fundamentally flawed.
Okay. Then my question is there, was there any alternate path of history where this was released without setting World 66 and Reddit on fire? The silence is deafening on this.
Well, actually, it's all about negation, right?
This is a battle pass designed for a different game. Let's be honest. This is a battle pass designed for, dare I say it, and I'm going to say this, it doesn't exist, folks. It doesn't exist. This is a battle pass designed for RuneScape 4.
Yep. 100%. But, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna need to explain that to me, because, like,
it just feels like a battle pass that you get in a game that was built entirely to be monetized around cosmetics.
I mean, that is RSV, essentially, these days.
It's what people said they wanted before they realized they didn't want a battle pass.
True. But we also need to realize that the praised cash cow is Treasure Hunter on a Smoldering Lamps promo, despite people not wanting to say
Okay. Yeah. But then what you're saying is that this update is fundamentally flawed, because it is not the right monetization scheme for this game. Like, what I'm trying to get
in those terms, yes.
There's two things here, right? Like, there's two potential reasons why this update is perceived as so fundamentally problematic by the vast majority of, at least the vocal part of the community. Either the update itself is bad, right? And they should never have released the update in this particular form, or the entire messaging and strategy of how it was released is wrong. And the update itself is not so bad. You were earlier saying, no, this is not fundamentally flawed, but now you're saying, but this is not the right monetization scheme for the game. And the latter makes me believe that whatever they would have done to mitigate this, like, it's not the right call. And then maybe them saying, we're going to pull this back and do something else, is the right decision.
Well, what if it's both? Like, maybe it isn't the right fit, and they did message it wrong. Because I've been thinking about your earlier question. Is there any way that this doesn't happen? And I go, if you had announced this alongside a month that actually had a headlining update. Let's say that this came out with the fort, Last Quest, or one of the quests, mm-hmm. Woodcutter's Grove. I do think that lessens the impact. Now, it can still be like, when I'm saying that it's not flawed, it's not, but I don't think it fits this culture. The RuneScape culture, which is
It doesn't fit the culture, but I am happy to have it in game and play it.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, I'm gonna ask a little bit deeper, because it doesn't make sense. Like, it sounds like you like the system,
correct?
Even though it's not for this game,
correct?
Which to me sounds like you want the game to be something that it isn't.
I think we're all guilty there.
Well, maybe Sirion's not guilty, but you and I are definitely guilty of that, Tennis.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting, because in a sense, what this is doing is almost... I mean, You're saying it's not the right fit for the game, but doesn't Hero Pass make the game in itself different already? Like, isn't the release of Hero Pass
trying to go that way
part of the transformation? Yeah. And the fact that there's a bunch of people now that are saying, I'm never going to play this game again. Like, maybe that's actually
a good thing?
The effect they're looking for. I mean, probably not in this explosive fashion, right? Like, they would hope people to walk out of the door and not shout and shut the door behind them. But maybe this is sort of the transformation they make. I don't know. I'm just trying to lay out all the different sort of angles, because like, and that's the important thing. Like, what is the feedback? Like, the three of us, right? Let's try and compile this. What is the feedback we would give back to Jagex? Would we say, hey, fix the system, change it, it's not working the way it is? Or are we like, you know what? The system is actually fine. Tune it, make some improvements to the UI, whatever. And next time you do something like this, you pull a stunt like this, this is the way you approach it. The thing is, I don't really know how they could approach this better, because I've also been thinking
about it.
Right,
it comes down to messaging, doesn't it?
It does come down to it, but like, if you merge this in with any other content update,
the same reaction. The content
update is going to completely be ignored. Right?
Exactly.
And now you have...
And that's something you don't want.
Now you have a content update worth of dev time that basically doesn't really get you the benefits of a content update.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like the monthly engagement. So,
and answering your question, if I could compile my feedback onto this, I would say tune the messaging in some way. Be more upfront about how the special missions are going to work, because as it sounds like right now, we don't even know how many points we're going to get in special. There has been some discussion on the subreddit, courtesy of Mod Doom, that it's going to amount to like about 25,000 points, but nothing official confirmed in that matter. And if that's the case, that's a quarter of the way to 99. And, you know, 40 minutes of dailies, according to my numbers, will get you there with that for the full day. Still, of course, a huge commitment. But at the same time, with that, you also need to realize that you're dealing with an MTX update here. And when was the last time one of those was received with open arms? So maybe this was a no-win scenario.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I feel. Like, I'm in my head, I'm going over the fact, like, what would have happened? A complete alternate history here, right? Like, I know I'm not a big on speculation, but I'm just trying to get to use it. I'm just using it as a tool to get to the bottom of it. What would have happened if Jagex had announced this back in March? Hey, we are reworking our monetization scheme and daily challenges and rolling it into one system. This is the current line of thinking, design thinking, and then had like a devlog every month up to now. How would that have gone? The thing is, there is such a conflict of interest here. I cannot ever see a company writing development logs and using player feedback to determine their monetization strategy.
Exactly. Like, that's why this came out and we didn't hear about it until the release candidate builds were ready to go.
What was your point, Tanis?
I don't remember. I don't remember now. It makes me tired. it gets me.
Yeah, but this is what's going through my head. Like, was this always going to just be a painful? I can't believe that they. I mean, they clearly didn't come at that. Like, you don't put your junior designer in front of the camera if you think this is going to be a painful launch.
We have seen what can happen when you get the most grizzled senior developer.
I know exactly what you're thinking about. The Maude Osborne hostage video, right?
that one, Mod Mike. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was monetization too. Like, it's hard. You know, it would be hard for anybody. But that being said, I don't know. I would have downplayed it, or at if not downplayed it, would have been like taking Ciaran's suggestion. We're gonna be reworking the monetization and the dailies.
Here's another alternate history, and this could have worked, I think. Don't replace the dailies. Only release Hero Pass as a replacement for Yak Track, right?
Yeah.
And then, the week after that, release a blog post on how you're thinking of reworking the daily challenge system, work it into Hero Pass, make it also rewarding for Hero Pass, right? And do that with community input and feedback. And then take some of the suggestions about Hero Pass in general, which are going to come in as part of the system on board as well. That could have worked, I think, if they had split this launch into two.
Just
because most people were sort of tired out on Yak Track. And
what
I think,
if there's another fundamental problem here? And I don't know if it works this way, but maybe it works this way and we don't know. What if there's a fundamental problem with this here in that folks on the CM side really don't have much influence into how these monetization updates go?
I mean, that's you make a good point here. Like, once this is done and once the daily once the daily challenge and this design is updated, and now you go to the CM team and like, okay, we're releasing this in a month, make it go smooth. That's too late, right? Like,
yeah.
If that's the case, what needs to change in Jagex culture is CM being involved before the first asset is made, the first line of code is written.
Right, and our sense that we got from Mod Doom is that they do have those discussions about content updates, but I don't know if they have them about MTX updates.
But you have to have the right people in the right place to slow things down or to push back. If you don't have that, then it doesn't matter if your ear's on the ground and you know this or that. And frankly, I'm not sure that they did know the community was going to react this way. They should have, because it's never went well. You had every indication in the world that this wasn't going to go well. So there should have been a contingency plan for that.
this outrage, though, almost feels worse than the Screw of Fortune one. That one was terrible.
Yeah,
because
I do have to.
YouTube was in its infancy.
But this almost feels worse and bigger in my experience.
There's a reason,
Hang on. I do need to say that with normal MTX updates that go bad, I don't see it being made news of in the gaming news circuit.
There you go. That is the gasoline.
And I saw
that did not
this
have
week
in
a handful of gaming news websites talking about this.
Yeah,
and that
it
bigger than any of the past MTX updates. And
dare
I say it, because of that, maybe this is the biggest mess up messaging and delivery wise since EOC.
Which is terrible, because we're at the end of the day, we are talking about MTX and it doesn't affect you that much.
Yeah,
we all know we all know that it's Treasure Hunter that pays the bills for RS3, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing, and that's what scared me this week was when I saw and I open up Google News and I go to the tech gaming section, RuneScape is in there for this.
Would you say
they weren't there for Necromancy? Were they?
Okay, would you say this made a bigger splash than Necromancy? Because, oh boy.
Well, I mean, it has the potential to be, given, like, if we want to look at player numbers.
Right,
yeah.
Well, it damn near was.
This happened to come out at the same weak as Starfield, so I don't think you can.
Right, you can, so we got that going for us at least.
Was that Fallout that came out that has a noticeable dip in number of players in the RuneScape graph? Like, these things happen.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, all in all, I guess we should sort of bring it back around because we've been talking about...
Yeah, we've been talking about messaging a lot.
It could have been done better, I think.
But at the same time...
Yeah, like I said, I think they could have taken smaller, slower steps and taken the community along, because this is a big hit, and I think there's all kinds of reasons why the bad voices are being amplified right now. That's not a rabbit hole I want to open.
No,
right now.
Absolutely not. And I mentioned that to everybody who is helping with the show this week, that is out of the scope for this week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we're not going to talk about that. Like, there's certain amplification factors going on here that are perhaps problematic. I honestly hope that... Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to see. It's a really bad position for a company to be in, because...
Is this...
As much as this might be the right thing to do for the integrity of the game, losing half your players, I mean, I'm exaggerating, it's not going to be that many people. In the end, it's probably going to be a small percentage, but like, at least, even losing that much trust, which, I mean, the damage has been done of a lot of players, is also a problem to the integrity.
Yeah, because we always talk about how they've been, you know, working, and they never have really been able to rebuild that trust after EOC.
I mean, we built this trust building takes months, years, takes time, and losing trust takes a second. It's always the way I look at it. I don't think, like, it's going to take at least a year before they... this sounds really pessimistic, but I think the echoes of this will be felt for a long time. Like,
oh yeah, agree.
Basically, I mean, they're going to release another Hero Pass in
December.
In December, in 90 days, 3 months from now, and it's going to be below a magnifying glass.
That one doesn't go wrong, you got the last 2 weeks of December where the studio pretty much goes to sleep.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, they're going to keep releasing anything MTX-related, and anything MTX-related is going to be like, oh, do you remember? Because that's how it was during the Squirrel of Fortune time.
Yeah.
Like, only way they managed to get out of that pit was to kill Yelp. And that is a concern I have with the system. Like, I feel the community has sunk so deep and has bitten into this that what was the first iteration of the
Rune Pass
that we had? Like, they renamed it to Yak Track because people had such negative connotations with it. Hero Pass almost can't keep existing like this, and I'm very curious to see the future.
Well, Mod Keeper is teasing a news post for tomorrow.
Yeah, and
we hear you loud and clear. We are not done. We will provide further detail tomorrow.
Yeah, and
to be fair, we will edit the show if need be for that.
Yeah, I find it worrying, and because I don't know what they can do at this point to fix this, short of things that I think have other consequences that are problematic. So, yeah.
And this leads me to a big question.
I don't have the data. I don't have the experience.
We're dumb.
Maybe they are smarter than me. What?
We're dumb.
We're dumb. Yeah, like in this domain, we're dumb. They know what they're doing. So yeah, I hope that at least the people that are listening, even those who might have been mad at this, are willing to sort of
come along with the ride back for us.
Come along with the ride, and at the very least, accept and agree with us that everybody is trying to do what's best for the game. And unfortunately, that means that Jagex needs to make enough money out of this game that there is continued investment in keeping this game online and keeping our communities whole.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's fundamentally what Jagex's responsibility is at this point. Like, they need to pay the bills, and they, unfortunately, that involves making compromises, and that involves having monetization schemes. And I looked at the video where they announced Hero Pass, and the people that were on there really seemed to believe in this. They seemed very genuine.
Yeah.
And if we can at least all agree that the intention is there, even if they might have made some mistakes, either on the messaging or maybe even their entire Hero Pass formula is wrong, the best way out of this is to remain constructive.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that leads to the big question. Is this Jagex's Kobayashi Maru? And for those unaware, that is the Kobayashi Maru, the no-win scenario test from Star Trek Starfleet Academy.
Oh. There's always a way to win, Shane. I'm a follower of Captain Pike. Damn it. Get that Vulcan shit out of here.
It was Captain Kirk who cheated at the test and was the only one ever to win.
That felt like a Kirk spoof.
And hey, maybe they need somebody who, and that's the thing. At this point, they need somebody to come in there who's willing to cheat at this thing and win somehow with this. And, you know, we haven't even got to the reward section on here, and that there's actually a boatload of cosmetics that look really good with this. I'm over the moon at the fact that there are overrides for our conjures. That's what I'm most looking forward to. Overrides for our necromancy conjures.
I think it's a really cool reward space. I'm not so interested in the scaling icons overhead thing, but I think it's a cool addition. Personally, I really like the chakrams. I don't know what the correct pronunciation is. I think they're a really cool weapon concept that should be in more fantasy games, even though it probably does not make any sense in real life. They look cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
I think it's awesome that they expanded the reward space, though I think the quality to me does not feel that much above what Yak Track provided.
Bingo.
I think it's on par. But, you know,
there's so many more, though.
There's a higher quantity of it. There's about twice as much, I think. They say like 90 cosmetic overrides, but they probably count like all the titles, and honestly, it's two titles in four different colors each,
which is, you know, a really low icon, cost,
which is 28 skill icons all with the same background. So, you know, I think when I did my counting, I got to like 40 or 50 overrides, which is still a bunch. You know, you could change your outfit every week and look completely different with this.
Any of the outfits speaking to you guys on this? Or, I mean, I'm personally good with my fashionscape right now, but any of the outfits speak to either, any of you?
I like the conjure overrides because I like the concept of it.
I feel like that's going to be the favorite thing.
Yeah, but I am kind of partial to this outfit I found in my bank. I found it before necromancy, and it's kind of like a necromancer look with my inverted slayer cape.
Ooh, okay.
I'm kind of rocking that for a while.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, same. I had one going into necromancy before, so conjure overrides then, I guess, overall on that for all of us. I feel like I want to step on the hornet's nest now.
We haven't yet?
Well, we've kicked it from the side all around.
I really like the gameplay buffs, specifically the one about Elite Dungeon 4, the Zamorakian Undercity. I know people are feeling that, you know, maybe that might be too far. But I really like the buffs that they have put in here for this section. And I feel like they're the natural evolution of, you know, things like our darts and clue scroll enhancers. We have the Trailblazer. Clue scrolls require one less step, which stacks with other reductions. Fort Artisan, 20% chance to save resources when working on the fort. Headhunter the ability to choose your own Slayer task. Chaos Ward reduces all damage taken in the Zamorakian Undercity by 20%, stacking with other reductions. And Lumberjack's Ingenuity doubles the chance that invention perks on woodcutting tools activate for 10 minutes, plus all the usual XP buffs that you get as well.
Yeah, I think what might be a sticking point to a lot of people is that I think a lot of these buffs help with people who haven't completed the game yet. Right, like for me, I finished the fort, but if you ever hadn't imagined the fort, right, like imagine Fort Atterson is great. These are the kind of buffs that allow people to sort of ease back into the game if they haven't been playing for a little bit. It's same with the Zamorakian Undercity. Like for me, that's the thing. I'm like, okay, you know.
Now, obviously, with that kill times won't count and you won't be on the high scores, which I think is fine.
But like, I think this caters to a group of people who doesn't care about high scores or kill times.
Yeah.
This caters to, dare I say it, a more casual group of players who just want to enjoy all parts of the game, but who aren't necessarily in there for the competitiveness of the game.
Well, and a lot of these buffs, when you look at these buffs, you can almost see that they line up with other tentpole content throughout this year, and probably stuff that
even the one from last year,
right? And stuff that's going to be coming, because we know special challenges are tied to, you know, current content that's coming out. So are these buffs, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sorry, but this is not a competitive game, guys. It's not. Is just not. Like, you can have your boss timers, those can be competitive. Your high scores, those can be competitive. But Shane, if me and you are competing on who can kill Zamorak the fastest, the only thing I care about is that boss timer. And if you're doing this and you can't do the boss timer, I don't give a shit. Like, it makes no difference to me.
Yeah. And, you know, you might just want to go through there. Hell, even on story mode with that 20% reduction.
Right. Yeah, no, this was a way where
imagine
like,
if
oh,
they gave you
through.
Because you and I were talking about this and haven't done this yet. Imagine if they gave you a 20% damage reduction on Raziel.
I would have made
story
it through.
Mode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I would have made it through. Which is a difference of being able to engage a certain content and or not, right? And it's not because I'm not wanting to play it. It's just limitations, I guess. But,
and that's the thing, right? Like, this allows more people to play the content. It makes the content more accessible. And you can be like, oh, but like some of the content should be exclusion, like should be more exclusionary. But like at this point, Zamorak is like what, a year old, right? Like it's been
more than a year,
for,
yeah.
Like it's been around for a while, like. You're no longer the exception if you're able to kill Zamorak. At this point, let's just open the floodgates and let people
have fun.
Do the thing. Have fun with
it. I mean,
because those same people who were pushing and rage on Zamorak last year are probably currently pushing kill times on Raziel. Like, new content has come out since. Mm-hmm. Or the log. Yeah. So, I agree. I mean, I can understand where people come from it, but I think it is a level of gatekeeping that's not healthy.
Oh, you just said the dangerous word.
Yeah. I mean, like,
but you know what else that's called within the community? It's called skill expression. Skill expression, Sirion.
Yeah, and I understand that. And these people are like, hey, I worked hard for this. And I don't really benefit from this anymore because I did things the hard way. But that's never been, like, I don't think that's ever been a productive discussion. That's like saying that RuneSpan shouldn't exist because I did rune crafting the hard way. I'm like, good on you. The fact that other people can get this easier now does not diminish your achievement.
Oh, when I was around in 2012 and we had that discussion about RuneSpan, that exact discussion.
And I've always been like Sirion. It doesn't have anything to do with you. and your achievement. That, yeah.
Like I was talking about the fact that like necromancy makes so many bosses easier. That doesn't mean I now have lost all respect to people who can actually kill Araxor before necromancy. Like I have the same amount of respect for you. That's not gone away.
Right? You mean you're not jilted?
The fact that I can now probably just go in and slam a ghost down and kill it, right?
Yeah, I yeah, the ghost effectively handles phase one of Araxor now. No questions asked.
But like that's the whole point, right? Like that doesn't mean that all the kills that happened before suddenly weren't relevant.
You mean?
But I also understand. Yes.
Are you not jilted? You kind of spurred that I am now able to do Araxor after like what, 8 years? Like,
no, I'm glad.
Oh well, thank you. Yeah.
No, like this is, and but this takes a shift in perspective, I think. But like, I don't want to say how people feel because I can understand the position of, you know, having a certain pride in your achievements and all of a sudden that not becoming very gatekeepy or that becoming very accessible. But at the same time, I think, and that seems to be the theme here, if you recontextualize it, a lot of people have been enjoying that push for Zamorak. Shouldn't people be happy that more people now get access to it and get invited? Like, this is the cool thing I have on this show, right? We have people in our producers team who are so happy teaching other people combat and other related skills, not because they want to feel superior or anything, but because they want to share how much fun they are having with that particular aspect of the game. Isn't it great that more people can now access Zamorak?
I think so.
Yeah. Isn't that a whole different way of looking at this that is super positive?
And same thing with Clue Scrolls, Master Clues.
I dislike clues, right, for example.
Yeah.
But imagine I have a friend who loved them. I'm like, you know what? This is not so bad. Let's do some clues together. Yeah. Like these... I mean, I'm going to sound really dreamy and hippie now, but these content buffs have the opportunity of bringing the community together.
Yeah, and dare I say it, if there is one thing I would not touch whatsoever about Hero Pass, it's these content buffs.
Yeah, and the vigor people has went after the content buffs for, that probably has been the most surprising to me, right? Like, that's... Because they don't seem that bad, and gosh, they even took the XP down, right? Like, this is kind of not as good.
Yeah, the XP buffs aren't as good as the other track. I mean,
yeah.
Look at Trailblazer, right? Like, decreases the amount of steps for all clue scrolls by one. That's on par with a Totem or Anachronia. That's in the game already.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Also, none of these are as good as the Porta buffs you got.
For Golden Cape Hunt.
For Golden Cape Hunt.
Yes. Yes.
Now, there is, I think one of the points people have brought up, which is that you don't get any of these buffs if you go for the free track. And that's what's tripping people up. But I'm like...
That's kind of the way battle passes work.
Exactly.
I don't know. Like, you could have them or something, though, right? Like, I mean, there could be... You could have two... to it.
And
yeah, and
that raises a very key point, is that, you know, the amount of money you would have to spend on Hero Pass to actually get into the premium one, it's really not that substantive. Sirion, you did some numbers on this week. What did you find?
I mean, I didn't really do the numbers on what it costs to buy a Premier track. Like, first of all, the Premier membership of a year gets you this for free, and it's a really, really good deal.
Yeah, we were talking about that in Discord.
Exactly. If you compare it back to my grandfathered rate from, like, what, 2012? Like, yeah. You pay only slightly more per month than that if you take the 6-month membership deal, which is, or 12-month membership deal, which is, to me, absolutely stunning. And you get all these extras, including the premium vault and like the...
Yeah, and I always say...
whatever. So
the only reason, the only time the Premier Club is not a benefit to buy is if you're on the $5 plan and you don't want the Hero Pass premium or the Actor
Yeah, I think the downside is, of course, you need to then actually play for 12 months. And yes. What this is saying is, hey, if you're coming back for 3 months to play and you want to make use of these buffs to sort of catch up with what you've been doing, you now need to put in that extra investment to also get the Premier Track. But also, like, how many bonuses is it for the Premier Track? I can probably find it somewhere here. I can find it on the bond page because
it's 24 bonds to completely buy out the entire pass.
It's 3 bonds.
There you go.
It's 3 bonds. That is the same as 45 days of membership. So let's say you take 90 days of membership. You need to pay 50% extra to get these buffs. Is that worth it? I don't know. If you're playing a lot, maybe. So, yeah, that's sort of the only downside, I guess. But yeah, to look at the money, like if you, for some reason, don't want to do any hero points, so you just on day one want to buy out all the levels because you can't spend bonds to buy the level. What does it come down to?
It was 24 bonds, I believe it was.
Yeah, 24 bonds. I calculated what that would cost. That would cost you about $190. That is about 170 euros or 120 British pounds. Now, that's almost $200. That sounds like a lot. At the same time, I don't know if you've ever looked into how expensive your average adult hobbies are. Like, there are gym memberships that are getting close to this price if you paid it for 3 months, right? If you go...
Tell us about your Legos.
Yeah, I like doing Lego sets. I bought a Lego set. It's almost $200, right? Like... And I could see myself buying a Lego set every 3 months. That's not an unreasonable frequency. Now, I also understand that there's families out there for whom that $200 goes to groceries because they don't have that much money to spare.
And that's an entirely different discussion. Real life but comes that's first.
That's an entire different discussion, and I understand you're being excluded from this. At the same time, it's not a charity, and then. Yeah, like it's a hard discussion to have, but
yeah. And you're getting the cosmetics. You're not getting the buffs.
Well, you're getting the buffs as well, of course. Like you need the Premier Track to get the buffs, and some people are getting tripped up over the fact that you need to pay money in some capacity to get access to the buffs. I'm like, yeah, that's fair. At the same time, I don't think you're missing out that much. Like, if you can't afford it or you don't think the money is worth it, it's not like you're not going to be able to compete at all. And, like you said, Tanis, the game is not competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day.
Either the money spent on getting these buffs, however you choose to get access to these buffs, either you find it worth it, or you don't. And I don't think you should feel bad about not finding it worth the money.
Yeah, I mean, I that is something that I think Yak Track did do a pretty decent job of, having the free track and the premier track run along each other like that. That's different, but... No, I agree. I mean, it's... At the end of the day, this comes down to, right? Like, is it a value? Is it something that you want to buy? Because at the end, because we all seem to, no one's talking about that, right? Like, okay, is this something that I would want to buy?
And that's the key point, is that you can choose to buy the premium pass. You can choose not to buy the premium pass.
Yeah.
You can also choose to ignore Hero Pass and play the game regularly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you will actually still get a whole bunch of rewards out of that, probably.
yes.
Also, like what they say about casual players, right? Like, if you get to the point of finishing to level 99 and you want to get that last little bit to 120, because the last levels are not more expensive as far as I can see, it's only $32 to go from level 100 to 120. So you would need to get like one expensive level, but it's only $32 to get that whole last bit that takes probably about as much time as all of the previous bits.
And that's Jagex's rationalization, is that with specials and with dailies, the majority of people will get to 99. It's really not that far of a stretch going forward, and that's the messaging that I've seen.
Like, you need another four bumps for that, I think, if I remember correctly. So that's like the whole thing, if you want to get membership for 90 months, right, that's 6 bonds. Then it's 3 bonds for the premier tracks, so that is 9 bonds, and then another 4 to get the last few things. So you're looking at 13 bonds, which will net you about $100. I mean, if that gives you enjoyment for an entire quarter, I mean, most AAA games sell for $70 to $80 right now, so... And I don't see people playing Starfield for 90 days.
Yeah, and that's the discussion about this that I feel like was also missing this week, is that from the monetary angle, you have a choice to make with this, and you're not being forced to buy out the Hero Pass. You're not being forced to buy the Premium Pass, and you're certainly not being forced to even engage with it.
No, and I think one last number that, like, we said we weren't going to do much analysis, and I'm not going to give you the exact numbers right now, but take my word for it. I know, that's dangerous. If you run the numbers on how much, if you buy out the entire Hero Pass, and this assumes you already have access to the Premier Track, admittedly, but if you buy out the entire Hero Pass versus buying out the entire Yak Track, again, assuming you have access to the Premier Track, the amount of money you need to spend per cosmetic is, like, within 10%. Like, it is almost on par.
They probably spreadsheeted that.
Yeah, exactly. They probably spreadsheeted that. The value, and like it comes down to like, what is it? Like less than three. It's about $2.67. No, sorry, that's pounds. It's about $4.27 per cosmetic. If you compare that to what you can get in Solomon's store, it's actually a really good deal. So,
and we're not saying this to sell people on this. We're just saying to, you know, kind of lay out where the rewards sit in terms of your real life dollar value.
And I'm also just saying, like, a lot of people are calling it like expensive, like a cash grab, but like it's on par with all of the systems we have there. Like, and fair enough, if you don't think that a cosmetic is worth $4, it should be at most $1. Power to you, don't buy it, right? Like,
right, but you have to get mad at its existence.
The fact that it is at this price point still means
me another game that has cosmetics for that cheap.
Yeah, but also what I'm trying to say is, like, if it's this price,
yeah,
then apparently this is like what market analysis, because they were market analysis, has proven that people are willing to pay for it. Because I bet you they have not set the prices in such a way that nobody buys this. And that's like another thing that we typically don't see. Like, everybody's like, oh, who is stupid enough to buy keys? Like, there are plenty of people who buy keys. And there's a very good...
Right, Tannis?
Like, and I that's completely fine, right? It's not your wallet.
You should have seen some of the discussions Tannis and I had around Christmas time with our Fresh Start accounts and his friends.
We had fun. We had fun. Credit cards were involved.
Yeah, anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm just going to say, like, I'm not planning on spending any money on it. I looked at the cosmetics, I'm like, they're neat. And if I get them, I'll get them.
But they don't speak to you.
I'll buy a Lego set instead because I have more fun with that. But if somebody else wants to play in-game Barbie...
Hey, it's your dream
power
house.
Power to you. Power to you.
And then we... You know, with all this, you would think that we'd be done on this and that would be, you know, where the story ends this week. There was a player feedback update on this, much to the tune of the same way that they did the ACTRAC, or not the ACTRAC, the Necromancy player feedback updates on this. And it was a post. It was still sparing in information. In general, I think the biggest things we pull from there is what we already talked about, that they're making it two large lamps instead of a small, medium, and large for the daily task that's coming next Monday. Visibility-wise, they're removing the audio cue when earning hero points, completing mission progress, or completing a mission. I feel like that should have been
fair. Yeah, like that's fair. I think, like somebody was saying, you get like in-game pop-ups over your gameplay when you get like points. Like, yeah, it's a little bit intrusive.
But at least give us the option.
I feel like this is implementation details. Like, yeah, you can get,
those
you
are
get
things that can over, be fixed.
Yeah, exactly. If you get mad over this, then that almost
Then it sounds like you're
Shush. Let's go on.
Oh, you don't want me to say what I told you in private, do you?
Oh, I was gonna say something that was also not particularly nice.
Okay,
to
let's not
who were
then.
Making that argument.
Let's not.
So
let's not.
Let's just move on.
Yeah, I agree. With that, also the option is coming to filter chat messages and notifications for hero points, mission progress, and completion. And they want to make the content buffs that we were talking about easier to acquire through organic play. And, you know, that's, I think, what we were talking about, primarily how they're on the premium track. So... and then the Iron Man question? I mean, I feel like this is a weird one and is something that should be pulled in-game probably only to Irons. Because that game mode is a weird basket case of cases.
Yes. And I can't presume to even know anymore how they feel.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I don't think I have the right to answer for that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when it comes down to that, it's a very interesting space, the Iron Man space today, about where all this lands, right? In terms of, you know, what is too much and what isn't, and it feels like that's a narrow slice of the community, but it's good they recommended that. And then the question of progression comes up, that there will be more special missions added throughout the way. Nope. Which would have been nice to know going in.
Would have been.
Yeah, I mean, the level of dissection some people think did, they could have expected it, but I think they didn't expect that particular aspect. I think they
and this is still a huge
community.
I think they thought
I think the community will trust them when they say the numbers are right. Of course, people are going to run their own numbers, but that to me sounds like a judgment error. Now they've said, yeah, there will be more special missions. To me, basically, that has made me decide, okay, I don't have all the data. I'm not going to worry about it anymore.
And that should have been the response, early in the week on that. So, overall, good communication post, I think, but, you know, there's still segments in the community out there who say it's not enough. And, you know, we eagerly await hearing what Mod Keeper has to say.
The thing is, you need a cooldown period on this, I think.
Yeah,
like people,
to even gather the data, right? Because this came out two days after.
People are going to adopt the angriness as part of their identity. Oh my god, we could have such an interesting psychological discussion about this. I'll try and keep it short. But like, people will adopt this angriness as part of their... I'm a nerd, I know. As their identity, right? And they...
I've seen that this week!
Yeah, like the thing is, like, people do that. Then they come in and like, okay, you're right, we'll fix it. And then they're like, but I'm still angry. And you need... I hear Tantalus laughing because he probably recognizes this. This applies to so many things, by the way, in society. So it's very interesting. But people need to continue being angry. Giving them, you know, saying they're right is not enough to dissolve that. So I think we also need a little bit of a cool down period now. Wait for the feedback to be implemented and then see. And that, like, that's I think what the right strategy would have been. Like, basically say, we're going to implement this, see how it affects things, and then we'll get back to you next week with a second feedback post, right? Because that forces a period of cooling down, and you can't really blame them, right? Like, you can be, it's hard to be angry at, oh, they're waiting like another week. No. Pretty reasonable, but
yeah,
we'll see what a certain someone has to say about Hero Pass before that.
That certain someone that we've been waiting for to speak is, of course, Mod Keeper, RuneScape's executive producer. It's Friday now, and we have Hero Pass player feedback update number 2 available to us. And I'm going to just go through briefly of this post here. It's a little bit odd for us to do a bit of an addendum on the podcast, but here we are. First and foremost, Jagex announced that they messed up, and this is in many ways, of course, what the community has been asking for and wanting to hear all week. They also say that they need a do-over, and as such, they're going to be removing the ability to purchase Hero Pass levels and Underworld emblems. They're also going to be removing the content buffs entirely, and of course we understand that this is going to be no longer part of the game, but our earlier discussion on this episode still provides the context of why these buffs might be worth pursuing in another way for a segment of the player base. They're also looking at moving the XP buffs out of the Premier Rewards track and being made available to all members, and making the Premium Reward track focus exclusively on cosmetics and consumables only. And of course, the biggest change in this post is that all daily challenges will return in a couple weeks as a standalone system, because they need some time to bring that back and, of course, do all the testing on it and restore that system. They also say that a first assessment of rebalancing will take place next week. And of course, for folks who are listening to the show for a long time, you'll know at the start we say recorded on, and this episode was recorded on the Thursday, and the post launched on Friday. And it's a rare step for us to actually make an addendum on the podcast, but as we conclude the discussion on Hero Pass, we wanted to bring in the latest news available before publishing so that context would be provided as you listen to this podcast through the weekend and as you give time to reflect on it. And as such, myself, Tanis, and Sirion will also, of course, be thinking and reflecting on these changes over the weekend. And next week, we'll be back with our full discussion on any further changes that are needed to Hero Pass. And with that, we're going to move on and talk about Jagex being up for sale yet again. As it also turns out, the investment group, Carlyle Group, that owned Jagex is presently weighing options for a sale of Jagex, which could be valued as high as £1 billion or $1.25 billion. There has been discussions, and this has even made its way all the way out to press wire service Reuters, where this has made news this week, to the point where we now know that the Carlyle Group is now working with advisors at Morgan Stanley and Arim and Company to explore a sale of Jagex. And, you know, it would be fun to say that this is because, you know, Hero Pass was a dud and whatnot, and the investors are losing confidence this week. But I think, and, you know, I might be wrong on this, I think that the alignment of this sort of thing lines up with the amount of time investment groups hold companies like Jagex, and it doesn't take, you know, 2 or 3 days for them to make a decision like this and have it work its way out in press release. The aim is to potentially head towards auction at the tail end of the year.
Like, I think saying that this is related to Hero Pass is severely overestimating how
exactly
fast these companies are physically capable to move.
Oh no! I've seen the link made already in the community this week.
It's definitely being linked.
Yeah, it's being linked. Of course it is, but like, it
doesn't happen that fast, folks.
That's not how these companies work.
No, if you when you start to read the articles, you see actually it's more likely that when they saw that it's doubled since the time they picked it up,
it's time to sell.
Like, this is the time to sell. And like, yeah, when I was looking, it looks like they were selling like a football club that they owned and a few other things at the same time.
That's the thing, right? Like, these companies don't hold on to game companies because they care so much about games. They yeah, okay, I think I've made my point. Let's move on. I don't think I need to even finish that sentence.
It's about the money at the end of the day. And
yeah,
you tell it from this
Group
line.
Carlock Group is not a bunch of gamers. No, that's
Jagex's annual earnings before tax, interest, depreciation, and amortization stand at about £60 million and expected to increase by more than 10% over the next year. And for a 20-plus-year-old company, that's not something to sneeze at. And because of that, that puts it in a good time to sell. And we know, and to, you know, work real-world economics into this, we know that there has been tightening interest rates on the North American continent for the last 6 months to a year or so. And that throws question into what the American markets are going to do in the next year or so. And with that, if you have assets that are performing well and you want to cash in on them, now is a good time to do it. And I think that's the through line of that story there. So,
yep.
And you know, hey, I mean, the other things are always fun to think about, but hey, let's move on to some achievements of the week and bring it home to our community here. Starting off, we have Mr. Eklet with 99 magic on the 6th, Luke Totodile with 120 necromancy on the 5th, and continuing on the 5th, we have Malinoric with 99 necromancy, and Santa Ends with 99 archaeology. Then on 3rd, we have Bartnells with 99 attack.
We're going to continue on September 3 with two more 99 necromancies, both Lazy Colonel and Shane 12088. God, what? Who puts numbers after their name like that? It's so annoying to pronounce.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, Shane.
Moving to September 2nd, we get some more necromancy achievements with Lady Claw and Quests of Shit getting both 120 necromancy, and Totally and XOX Scotty XOX getting 99 necromancy each, both on September the 2nd. Well done.
All right. And then moving on, we have Bartnells with 99 invention on the 1st. Then we have Pony Picker with 120 necromancy on the 1st. Matt 258, 99 necromancy on the 31st. And Woody, 200 mil constitution XP on August 31st.
Nicely done. Favorite part of the show this week, guys. Favorite part of the show.
All of it.
Go ahead.
All of it. I don't know. I mean, I like the beginning.
No, I mean, this is my favorite part of the show, the achievements.
Oh, this is your favorite part. Oh, you threw me for a loop, Shane. I'm like, I don't know. Stop asking me questions. I'm dumb. Like, I don't
get
it.
Well, I have another one for you. What's your pick of the week?
Oh, that I have an answer to. So, much like the RuneScape community, the Star Wars community loves to eat its own as well. So you have probably heard lots and lots of things about a little show called Ahsoka. This is their latest live action show. And, you know, of course, because everything after The Last Jedi has to be half the people love it, half people hate it. You can find whatever opinion you want. My opinion is this is a really, really fun Star Wars-y show. If you watched Rebels, which was an animated series, this is the basically the live action version of those characters. At least so far, a lot of them have showed up, and it's fun, it's cool. And episode 4 just aired yesterday, and it was amazing. Some people are saying it's right up there with some of the best moments in Star Wars. So That's the pick of the week, Ahsoka.
Disney Plus, I assume.
Yep, Disney Plus.
I find it really interesting, like this the Star Wars show. Like I watched The Mandalorian, right, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those shows are really, really good. Like they do a lot of good stuff, and I think they have a lot of technology to pump these out pretty quickly. But what I like them most if they don't go into a lot of fan service, and I think some of the shows do better at that than others. But overall, I've been hearing good stories about it. So I think the Star Wars universe is starting to show that it was almost made for the more serial, like actual TV series content rather than the movies.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely the modern. And
exactly.
And if you like that kind of thing, I really couldn't recommend Andor anymore to you. You would be a fan of that.
Yeah, I love Mandalorian cool. Because it's like it's a space western. I mean, you've sold me if you say space western. Firefly was one of the best science fiction series ever. But like, yeah, no, that's exactly.
Yeah. Right on.
Very cool.
You guys might even be moving me on the dial on that with your back and forth there.
Oh my God! Do we need to set like a Patreon goal that we buy?
No, we did that. We watched one of the movies for movie night before, and it resulted in some comments that were unsavory by members of the audience at the time.
Oh, we can make you watch like The Mandalorian or something like that. That
would have been good, but I chose poorly.
You know which one I'm talking about, right?
I chose poorly.
Okay, so wrapping up the show with what we've been up to, I'll go first. As you guys see, 99 Necromancy. I went about that in an unconventional way after getting back from the vacation. I did Bound Skeletons to level 90, and then after that, I did Essence Rituals from 90 to 99. And because of those essence rituals with their random events being so lucrative, I actually had enough mementos from those that I was able to get all the souls I needed for level 95 and unlocking the final quest just from those random events. And I didn't even have to touch any bones with that. So that was interesting. And I didn't even need to pay for that. So that was fun.
Wow.
With the multiply glyphs. And then after that, of course, was Alpha versus Omega. Interesting and different experience compared to what Tanis had of that quest. I'm sure he'll tell us about that. And since then, been nailing out the tier 90 power armor requirements. Thaxi and I duoed Ambassador the other night, so got that one done. And then it's on to Raziel and learning that boss. I've got my first couple kills there, and it's an interesting boss fight, bit of movement mechanics in phase 4 and whatnot. I got most of it down, except for that, but I think that's going to be my next thing, is nailing down the Raziel kill times just to a point where I feel comfortable with it. I don't know if I'm going to farm the boss necessarily, because I do want to get 120 necromancy, but it's safe to say the adventure of using necromancy to, of course, get all the Hermod plates and, you know, kill all the bosses for the power armor and whatnot has actually really been something and really interesting going back to things like Nex and Araxor, because as I mentioned earlier in the show with Araxor, necromancy basics plus the skeleton kind of just gets you through phase 1 right off the bat. So it's interesting the power we're seeing from that. But contrary to what we see this week with Hero Pass, I've been having a good time with Necromancy.
Nice.
One of you guys can go next.
I'll just say that I still haven't completed the Alpha Omega quest, because the best I've been able to do is get Raziel down to 5K. I mean, 5 freaking K. So close. But after that, I haven't been back for a while. But I am working on basically just gathering some points. I'm doing some Slayer task and hanging out in the dungeon, just, you know, slowly working to 120 necromancy. But yeah, that's been the most that I've done this week.
Yeah, we'll sit down at some point and I'll get you through there. I feel like there's a couple things we could do optimization wise on that based on what you've said.
Cool.
If it's only 5K, because that's really close.
Yeah.
It's like a basic.
It was so close, man. It was so close. Yeah.
Sirion?
I guess it's not. I've been working mostly on necromancy.
Yeah.
I'm at level 77 right now. So not super high. Finally, after grinding Hermod for a while, got the drumstick, so finished the
Yeah, you went quest. Really long on that. I would have thought bad luck mitigation would have been like 25 or 30.
I think like 53 or 54 was my kill count on getting a drop. It was not fun. It took me several hours.
I mean,
it got me all the Hermod, the plates for at least one armor set and then some. I'm at like 8 plates in total if you count the one that you get from the quest. So,
yeah, so that's a tier 70
that's something,
armor.
Because I'm going to need to farm those at some point anyway, so I got that dose. But yeah, now I'm back to the bound skeletons. I'm going to try and get to at least 80, hopefully 85 this weekend. So that unlocks yet another quest.
And then you get a healthy chunk of XP from that too.
And I had a wealthy chunk of XP, and then
that's something else they haven't been shy of. They haven't been shy of giving away XP with these quests.
That being said, though, like you get like, I mean, I got 45k from the jazz quest, and that was not enough to even get.
Right.
That could be like maybe a quarter of the way to the next level. Though you can of course finish that quest much earlier. But I also did something else. I finally finished my fort again.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I decided to quickly do that.
Yeah, fun so, finding the elder logs?
I didn't need any. I only needed the Vanger or...
Oh, so you had the ones that were done already.
Yeah. So I only needed mahogany and magic, and I had those sitting around in the bag, so that was not a big deal. It was kind of fun. I think... Yeah, I was just wanting to take a little break from necromancy. Like, I don't want to burn myself out. And I was looking at the...
Yeah, that's fair.
I was looking at the comp list. I was like, you know what? I need to finish my fort. And now I can actually, if I wanted to, slowly work towards the anima wisdom, wisdom of anima, whatever.
The dying arrow thing, yeah.
A comp requirement.
Yeah, the dying arrow. You just got to unlock one of them.
Now that Hero Pass is giving me... encouragement to work on some more comp requirements. We'll see. Who knows?
Nice.
So yeah, that's mostly been me.
Right on. Back from vacation, and of course you also probably
my first few kills with Hermod were on mobile, which is interesting.
That was interesting to witness, I have to say.
Yeah, I got the kill times down a little bit. I'm really starting to like I'm a Revolution Plus person, so for me it's a pretty big shift in doing at least all the thresholds
manually.
So
yeah.
Also because like my action bars were not set up for that. So I've been building different action bars. I might need to even go to like my melee and all that if I want to take the same approach.
Yeah, and I just want to give an update on that about where we're at on the action bar micro lesson. I know that's something people want. The thing holding that up is we're waiting to see what Jagex does on summoning conjures out of combat for adrenaline or not, because that is something that was mentioned as that's something they might be looking at, and that changes the calculus quite substantially on action bars. So we're waiting to see what happens with that before pulling the trigger, and then just a couple of other little minor things around the edges we're waiting for to balance wise to see where they land.
Yeah, it's pretty broken if you get to summon and activate it and then immediately living death into combat. It's a little bit much.
Yeah,
like so that can't be intentional, I think.
Well, and, you know, based on that, you know, it's a month in, so I think they're just waiting to see, you know, how it feels and if it needs to be changed. And with that, I mean, if you change it at this point, that's quite substantial, quite a substantial change. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think they should do nerfs that are potentially going to upset people right now, because I think the community is in a really good place, so they will probably understand.
What show was you on today?
We need to bring back video for this.
So you could see my complete deadpan face as I delivered that joke.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Alrighty, folks. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of this week's episode of RSBNB Update. Hopefully you guys still like us. Hopefully this was the discussion you came here for, and this is the discussion I wanted to deliver throughout the entire week. Just an honest discussion back and forth about Hero Pass that quite honestly needed to happen. So let us know what you think.
If you think we are completely wrong, then feel free to put it in the RSBNB Discord
or YouTube comments or anywhere.
Please be respectful.
Exactly. Just like you should be respectful of the devs, be respectful of us.
Yeah.
And of course, if you want the podcast delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on all the good podcast listeners out there: Apple, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, Amazon, and of course YouTube as well. YouTube.com/RSBNB. That's where the video versions of the show go. And of course, comments can be put there as well, or in the Discord at RSBNB.com/Discord. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye. See you.